wants to smoke a Dannemann cigar.
They say to understand the man, you've got to meet the boy.
We came from a place where there wasn't a lot of hope.
This is Jimmy Barnes.
It's not soft to ask for help. The most courageous thing I ever did was get help. We're all out there. We just got to find each other.
Jimmy Barnes. Raw, open, honest.
Men need men to talk to.
This is 1 hour every Australian man should listen to. Something is wrong.
I got to the point, if I hadn't have found people in my life, I was going to be dead. And I knew, you know, I woke up, with a cord tied around a thing, you know, when I had my neck in it the night before. And that was, for me, was like, okay, this can't happen. It's not soft to ask for help. I think, like I've said on stage show, the most courageous thing I ever did was get help.
That is Jimmy Barnes. Open, honest, and raw. A Jimmy Barnes we have never heard before. Over the next hour, you're going to hear a Jimmy Barnes open up about stuff that most of us blokes aren't great at. Mental health, suicide, talking. You won't want to miss any of it because it might just save your life or someone you know's life. G'day, I'm Gus Warland, founder of Gotcha for Life, and it's with great pleasure to introduce a man born James Dixon Swan in the mean streets of Glasgow. He grew up to be Australian rock royalty, lead singer of arguably the greatest band Australia has ever produced, Cold Chisel. He has had an outstanding solo career in his own right. He's a number one author, father, grandfather, and now documentary maker. He is Jimmy Barnes.
How are you, mate?
Very, very well. Now, congratulations on the books and, of course, the new movie, Working Class Boy. It's in cinemas now. I imagine writing such a raw account, because you've spoken about it quite a bit. You've been very open about your mental health. But putting it down on paper is one thing. Going back and living it in a documentary is another. What was it like, Jimmy?
You know what? It was like you said, writing it down the first time, it was really, really good. Going out on stage and talking about it to people was really healthy and sort of helped you sort of process it and think about it. After about 50 shows, it started to get a little bit oppressing again. So I was seeing a therapist, every week the whole time I was doing the tour. I still am. So I had a bit of help. When I went and filmed the doco, we started in Scotland. And I thought, I've been through it all. I can deal with this stuff. But going back to the sort of scene of the crime, really, where it all started, and walking the streets where, I sort of was running wild as a little kid, running away from home. And it was pretty confronting. So it's one of those things where it's really good to go through this stuff. As painful as it feels, but I was glad I had some help. I had great support. I had my wife and family were with me most of the time.
Now going back to Scotland, like you say, that's real then, isn't it? Because all the memories flow back. The smells, the sounds.
Yeah, well, Glasgow. I mean, Glasgow's a great place. Where I grew up, a place called Cowcaddens, a couple of streets, right next to where I lived, that still look exactly the same as they did in 1960 when I left, 1961. I went into a couple of the tenement buildings, and there was a whole bunch of memories, and it was just that sensory thing, where I went in and I could smell and I could feel it, and it tasted, the air tasted the same as it did when I was a kid. So all the senses sort of went back to, instead of just your mind taking you back to what you were writing, the whole body sort of felt like it was back in late 1950s. So it was incredible.
Jimmy, you say in the book, to understand the man, you must meet the boy. And that's what that Scotland part of it's all about.
Well, really, and to understand who I was as a human being, I had to meet and remember and face myself as a young kid, and like most kids, I wasn't a bad kid. It's not, I don't make excuses for who I became as a man because of that. But for myself, I had to realize what I'd been through, what I'd seen, what I'd done as a child, to be able to have a hope in hell of actually, making sense of my life as an adult.
We're chatting to Jimmy Barnes about his movie Working Class Boy. Coming up next, we're going to chat about his early life, not just in Glasgow, but when you came to Australia.
I moved into Elizabeth when I was sort of 7 years old or something, 6 or 7 years old. By the time I left there, I was 11. And through that time, I'd taken up drinking. I'd taken up hard drugs. I'd been sexually abused. I'd been beaten. I'd seen more violence than most people see in a lifetime.
This is Jimmy Barnes, like you've never heard him before.
Proud to support Aussie men in being open and honest with each other.
I was going
to
be dead, and I knew it. Now listen!
Triple M.
This is Jimmy Barnes. A Jimmy Barnes like you have never heard before. Raw, open, and candid. This is Gus Warland, and I'm chatting to Jimmy about his life, his struggles, and how he has used the strength that all of us have inside of us to come through the back end. Mate, you were born in Glasgow as Battlers.
What will you remember about those days?
We just came from extreme poverty. We came from a place where there wasn't a lot of hope. My mum was married at 16 and had five kids by the time she was 21, and she married my dad because my dad was a tough boxer, good looking, smooth talker, and she thought this would be her escape. And in the end, she thought my dad was going to be a big hero, white knight in white, on the white horse and save her. And by the time she was 21, she was married with five kids and a husband who was violent, who drank, who gambled, who womanized, who was never home. And she was scratching to feed her kids and scratching to make sense of her life. And you got to remember, she's only a kid herself at this point. Glasgow, Glasgow is a tough town. It was, I remember, we lived in these apartments, tenements that were sort of eight apartments to a block or something like that. And they had one toilet outside for the whole block, no bathrooms. It was always filthy and it was always scary. And there's people down there and weirdos and stuff. And one of my sisters actually got attacked, a guy tried to rape her down there. So this was atrocious times. So very traumatic, lots of violence. I mean, I left Glasgow when I was 5 years old. And by the time I'd left Glasgow, I'd already been exposed to gang violence and fear and domestic violence and all that sort of stuff. And we moved to Adelaide, to Elizabeth, hoping to start fresh. And unfortunately, all we did was bring all those problems with us. And the only difference was my mum didn't have anybody. Her family weren't there and she didn't have anybody to back her up. So my mum and dad fell apart. And at that point, we were exposed to all sorts of stuff.
So how long did it take for you in Elizabeth and South Australia there for you to sort of go, right, okay, I've got some sort of path?
When I started writing the book, and I've said this to my wife, she used to ask me, how was your childhood? And I'd just say, normal, because there was a lot of other kids in our area. Most kids in our area were going through the same stuff. Domestic violence, poverty, alcoholism, in Australia. So we weren't unique. Some families were obviously worse than others, and ours were pretty bad when I look back on it. I moved into Elizabeth when I was sort of 7 years old or something, 6 or 7 years old. By the time I left there, I was 11. And through that time, I'd taken up drinking. I'd taken up hard drugs. I'd been sexually abused. I'd been beaten. I'd seen more violence than most people see in a lifetime. And for a while, for 3 years, we didn't have my mum there. So we were starving. We were getting fed by friends or whatever my sister could steal. We were being clothed by the Salvation Army.
That is by far the least normal childhood of all time. It was normal to you because that's all you knew.
Absolutely. And it wasn't really, I sort of made excuses for my parents and I made excuses for my childhood and for my behavior because I just thought that's what everybody went through. I started writing a few years ago, right? So, and I thought to myself, you know what? I would never have put my children through what I went through. And I realized how abnormal it was. It was, you can't hope to get through a life like that and not be scarred without them either killing you or radically affecting you unless you get help.
Coming up next, this is a Jimmy Barnes you have never heard before.
I used to run away from home when I was a kid. The stage became me running away from home. I could get up there and just be wild, but it was actually a train wreck. A lot of people watched us because they couldn't take their eyes off it, just like you do when you drive past an accident. And I was lucky enough that I had some people who were strong and said, this isn't good enough, This isn't good enough for us. You need to do something about it, You've got to get this together or you're going to die.
Proud to help Aussie men be open and honest with each other.
One guy who you'd think was just an animal would sit and say, can we talk? I'd be shocked.
Triple M.
G'day, it's Gus Wallen, chatting to Jimmy Barnes. It's a Jimmy Barnes we've not spoken to before. Open, honest and raw. Opening up about stuff that most of us blokes aren't great about talking about. Mental health, suicide, just talking. Jimmy, reading the books and finding out the story of you, we saw in the media, we saw in your life, the partying legend that we knew you were. Do you look back on that and think, why did I do all that?
Well, I did have a great life. I was in a rock and roll band and I was running wild and I could virtually do anything I wanted almost, But the thing was, I hate to be cliche, that thing about, you never have it in the world and have nothing. I was sort of, people were living vicariously through me. They go, it's Jimmy, look, he's out, he's hammered again. What day is it? It's sort of 10 o'clock in the morning, Monday. What's the heck of he's hammered, But people would sort of go, oh, it's good old Jimmy, After a while, that really, that fun becomes, you become just, you're struggling trying to keep up. So I'd be doing, we'd be doing 8 gigs a week. By 2, I'd be mindless. As an adult, I did atrocious things, like just drinking, drug taking, just running as far away from myself as I could. The most I could run was on the stage. I used to run away from home when I was a kid. The stage became me running away from home. I could get up there and just be wild and not answer to anybody. And I'd smash the place up, but it was actually a train wreck. You know, a lot of people watched us because they couldn't take their eyes off it, just like you do when you drive past an accident.
Jimmy, do you look back at yourself now and at some stage go, I'm lucky that I'm still alive?
Yeah, I mean, one of the good things I did get from my parents was tough genes, tough Scottish genes, because I hammered myself and I could have been dead many a time. I mean, I could have been dead. I remember getting picked up by a couple of bikies in a car one day, and they were trying to drive out in the bush. I don't know what they were going to do to me, and I dived out the car while it was moving and stuff. And I was 9 years old, you know. I've been attacked by, you know, guys who just got out of jail and, you know, trying to rape me and all that sort of shit, you know. I look at my career. And so, not always. I mean, I really love life and I had a great time and made great records and great friends. Sometimes I look at it, when I look at it from certain angles, it looks like the longest drawn out suicide attempt in Australian history. And really, how I survived that is sometimes just has me baffled.
Do you find sometimes in Australia, when you are a bit of a superhero, whether it's on the sporting field, Hollywood star, or whether or not you're a rock and roll band, there's a whole different set of rules for people like you guys, and it doesn't actually do you a lot of favors.
Well, you know, I think this, you know, you got to realize that along the way in entertainment and in sport, you know, we lose a lot of good men. You know, a lot of men, you know, don't make it through, die. A lot of lives get shattered. You know, if they don't die, they get shattered, and families get split. You know, because of all the things that we do, which, you know, at one point are glorified. We can't idolize people too much for the wrong things, or encourage them too much for the wrong things. You got to look past the obvious and say, oh, well, you know, anybody who's drinking that much must be suffering. You know, that's what I sort of do that now, which I don't think I ever did about myself before. But I look now and I think, okay, what's his problem? What's he gone through, you know?
You can be the loneliest man in the room and have 1,000 people around you adoring you, right?
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, you'd be surprised how many people do want to hang around. No matter how messed up you get, a lot of people do want to. And I'm not bitching about it. I mean, really, I survived it and I'm okay. I used to hang around with people that, you know, literally I wouldn't spit on now if they were on fire. When you're so out of it, because they let you do what you want. You surround yourself with people that allow you to fall apart. And I was lucky enough that I had some people who were strong and said, this isn't good enough, you know. This isn't good enough for us. You need to do something about it, you know. And that was my band, my family. You know, people have to stand up and say, you've got to get this together or you're going to die. And so I was lucky I had those people around me. Some people don't get them.
I really want to cover that next, because having a mate who looks out for you from a mental health point of view, it's close to your heart, is huge, as we will discuss.
And the simple act of talking to someone who would listen and not judge made the difference to me. And it might be one of your mates. Maybe one of your mates is just waiting and say, hey, you're wrong. You know, you're okay. You know, you can get through this. You know, if we can't communicate with ourselves, how are we going to communicate with our kids? So, you know, we have to reach out. Men need men to talk to.
This is a Jimmy Barnes you've never heard before.
This is Jimmy Barnes like you've never heard him before. Everybody groove. This is 1 hour every Australian man should listen to. On Triple M, we're proud to start the conversation to get Aussie men looking out for each other.
It's a Jimmy Barnes we've not spoken to before. Open, honest and raw. Jimmy, we're talking about having mates, and as you know, I run a foundation called Gotcha for Life, and that's all about finding that friend, finding that mate who has got you for life. You can have those conversations, warts and all, knowing that they won't judge you and knowing that they'll be there for you no matter what. Jimmy, who are those guys for you?
Don Walker, the boys in Chisel, like I said, they were there always going, are you all right? Are you all right? It took me time to be able to speak to them. Jane was one of them, you know, but I had people all the way through my life. I was lucky. Reg Barnes, you know, when I was a young kid, when I was 11, I moved in with Reg, and he was a solid, you know, good influence on me. As much as I was a wild bastard, I was smart, and I had teachers who could see potential in me, and they would reach out to me. So just, you know, it was just finding someone who related to you and who could talk to you. As I grew up, I isolated and isolated more, and it became, my wife was the only person. My, you know, even my dear friends couldn't talk to me because I just sort of shut down. I got to the point, if I hadn't found people in my life, I was going to be dead. And I knew it, you know. I woke up, and you know, with a cord tied around a thing, you know, I had my neck in it the night before, and that was, for me, was like, okay, this can't happen. And you know, I needed to talk to someone. So I started seeing a therapist. And I was one of these guys who used to poo-poo therapy. If you see a therapist, you know, you're bloody crazy. You know, if you've got abandonment issues, you're a mummy's boy, you know. But all those things that everybody sort of, they sound cliche, but they affect young people, and they affect how young people become adults. So I started talking to these people, and the simple act of talking to someone who would listen and not judge made the difference to me. And it might be one of your mates. Maybe one of your mates is just waiting to say, hey, you're wrong. You know, you're okay. You know, you can get through this. We all need those people to talk to.
We certainly do, Jimmy. I think suicide is the death of loneliness. You feel a disconnection. You feel like you're the only one that has these problems. But we had a night at Avalon about 6 weeks ago with Gotcha for Life. I was putting the chairs out, and I was putting about 70 chairs out, and a mate of mine was buttering up some bread, which I'd got from the local baker. Another mate was cutting up the sausages that we'd got from the local. And I thought, you know what? There's going to be the three of us here tonight. 256 blokes turned up. They sat in silence as blokes were talking about things that were really important. That night went on to about 10:30 at night, and people were still looking to talk. Blokes will talk as long as we build a safe environment to do that. And I think we're getting better at it. The what you talk about, the old-fashioned sort of, oh, you're weak, you're this, you're a quack if you go to the doctor. That is changing, but it's not changing quick enough because we're still losing six beautiful men every day in this country.
I know, it's outrageous. And, you know, and the other point of the, you know, all the problems that we've got, whether it's that Me Too movement, whether it's domestic violence, you know, women are dying in droves and families are being cast asunder. They're all connected to this lack of connection that men have to themselves. You know, if we can deal with our problems, it's going to help solve a lot of other problems that we have. You know, if we can't communicate with ourselves, how are we going to communicate with our kids? So, you know, we have to reach out. I used to go to AA and NA meetings, you know, and I'd go there and I'd think it was all churchy and it was too much for me, 12-step and all sorts of stuff. But I met great people in there who just would say, if you need somebody to talk to, here's my number. No strings attached, you know. I'd never met anybody who actually gave me a number and said, here, call me, without wanting something, you know. And so there are good people out there. And, you know, it might well be that some of your friends are feeling the same as you and you just have to talk to them. We all isolate. I can remember being in gangs, you know, in Elizabeth, and we've gone out fighting and drinking and hooligans and all that sort of stuff. And at moments, there'd be moments when one guy who you'd think was just an animal would sit and he'd be the same as you. He's going, I don't want to do this. I want, you know, can we talk? And I'd be like, I'd be shocked. So we're all out there. We're just going to find each other and we've got to spread the word because men need men to talk to.
It's a Jimmy Barnes we've not spoken to before. Open, honest and raw. Opening up about stuff that most of us blokes aren't great about talking about. Mental health, suicide, just talking.
Our parents, you know, were brought up with, you know, they were at the peak of all this. Don't cry, don't show any emotion. I don't know how a parent can not cry or show emotion, you know, but you don't, it's not soft to cry. It's not soft to ask for help. I think, like I've said on stage show, the most courageous thing I ever did was get help and look for someone to talk to.
We'll do that next.
Proud to support Aussie men in being open and honest with each other.
I was going
to
be dead and I knew it. Now listen.
Triple M.
G'day, it's Gus Wallen, chatting to Jimmy Barnes, lead singer of arguably the greatest band Australia has ever produced, Cold Chisel. He has had an outstanding solo career in his own right. He's a number one author, father, grandfather, and now documentary maker. It's a Jimmy Barnes we have not spoken to before. Jimmy and I were chatting before about bloke stuff and how sometimes it's really hard for us blokes to open up, to talk about things that are emotional. We're very good at banter, but blokes never say, Jimmy, I love you. I'm worried about you. I think you need help. Why do you think it's so hard for us to talk about that stuff?
Like I said, how there's all these things are connected. Men are supposed to be able to deal with everything. Men are supposed to be the, you know, the big tough, you know, we've got the club, you know, it comes from the cave, you know. Men, you know, we are capable. We are good. We are strong. But we're not invincible. We do need help. And that whole sort of masculinity was, you know, over the years has been blown out of proportion to the point where, you know, you've got to be hard, you've got to be tough, you've got to be, you know, you don't cry, you don't show any emotion. And if you do that, how can you possibly bring up a family? Our parents, you know, were brought up with, you know, they were at the peak of all this. Don't cry, don't show any emotion. I don't know how a parent can not cry or show emotion, you know, but you don't, it's not soft to cry. It's not soft to ask for help. I think, like I've said on stage show, the most courageous thing I ever did was get help and look for someone to talk to.
The most important person in your life now, your beautiful wife. Just talk us through the first time you said to her, hey babe, I need help.
Yeah, I met Jane in 79. We've been together a long time now. And she's always been just sort of trying to reach out to me, but never want to push, you know. And she's always just sort of, she's let me know I'm here. if you want to talk. I'm here. What's going on? And she had to get to the point where she said, look, I've been here. I'm here. But I'm not going to stay here while you destroy yourself. You know, Jane's an incredible woman. And, you know, and when I would talk to her, she'd say, you know, this is great, but maybe I'm not the person you should talk to in some of this, about some of the stuff. Maybe you need to talk to someone else, like another man. I think it's really important. It's that it's men communicating with men. But my wife is an amazing girl, and she was the one who was always telling me this stuff, way before it was cool, Gus. Well,
why do you think, Jimmy, it took you so long? Because you knew that she was intelligent. She knew that she wanted the best for you, that she loved you. Why do you think it takes not just you, but heaps of blokes?
I think the reason it takes so long is because it's so frightening. To look back and look at stuff that you've kept inside and you've hidden for your whole life, and you've hidden it for a reason. And sometimes with these things, when you let them out, aren't that bad. You know, they're not as bad as they seem, and as overwhelming as they seem. You know, I you know, didn't talk to anybody about you know, being afraid all my life, you know, because I'm, you know, I'm supposed to be tough, you know. So, you know, martial arts and bands and fighting and, you know, boxing and, you know, and gangs. But I was afraid my whole life, you know, and I didn't talk to anybody about that. You know, like, I thought if I bring this stuff up, people will see I'm useless, and I would be useless. You know, I was lucky enough to have a lot of people along the way giving me little nudges in the right direction. You know, I mean, you know, I've had great friends, you know, outside of the music business too, who said, come on, Jim, it's not pull your head in. It's like, I'm here. Do you need me? You know, yeah. And that's so important. And I've always been lucky enough to have people trying to do that.
I think you being so vulnerable now will help so many young Aussies, and also blokes of our generation, blokes who at the moment are still struggling. They don't have the emotional tools to have the conversation they need to have because they haven't been taught that, because their dads and granddads didn't have it. You certainly didn't have it with your father. So it's taken you a lifetime to sort of learn it.
Even now, I'm still, you know, you get the odd person sending notes on the internet saying, get over yourself, you know, toughen up, mate. You know what? I think they're probably the people that need the help the most because they're afraid of something.
This is a Jimmy Barnes you have never heard before. Knowing what you know now and having lived the life that you have, what would Jimmy Barnes today tell Jimmy Barnes back then? We'll do that next.
So it can only get better, you know, but to make it better, you've got to take steps, you know, find someone to talk to, speak to a teacher, you know, speak to, you know, just you find people that you can reach out to, and things will get better. And it's not, there's always light at the tunnel, and it's not a freight train all the time. I used to think every light I seen was a train going to run me down, but it wasn't.
Proud to help Aussie men be open and honest with each other.
One guy who you'd think was just an animal would sit and say, can we talk? I'd be shocked.
Triple M.
G'day, it's Gus Wallen chatting to Jimmy Barnes, honest and raw, opening up about stuff that most of us blokes aren't great about talking about, mental health, suicide. Jimmy, I feel like there's been an evolution of Jimmy Barnes, not just through the movie and through your books, but just also hearing your stories today. Do you find being so open, so vulnerable and so honest that people love you even more now? I mean, we always loved you, but have you found that?
Well, people understand you more, and people see, you know, look, he's struggling, but he's doing all right, you know? It's not just a matter of, you know, it's not just bravado and front, you know, and jumping about like a lunatic. I'm actually talking. When I meet someone, even if I'm in a hurry, you know, in the street, I look at them and I'm engaging in their lives. I'm not just sort of, yeah, it's great, you know, and brushing through, which I did for so many years. So even when I speak to people now, I think people feel closer to me because and they can see the real me.
Life's about connection and being present, isn't
absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Being a granddad helps you with that. I certainly know being a dad does for me, because I can be in the room but not necessarily connected with my kids. And when they normally give me the jolt and say, hey, Dad, put the phone down or turn the telly off, stop watching the sport, all of a sudden I'm like, oh. Just have to be reminded.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we need reminders occasionally, you know. But you know, I mean, kids are the great leveler. Grandkids are incredible. Part of the thing, you know, I was a good father, but I made mistakes. And you know, it's the great circle of life. You sit there and you watch the impact of what your good moves and your bad moves have been on your children, and you can see them changing it. And it's like software, I reckon. I've said this, you know, every time I get better, it's like updating my software. And as soon as I updated my software, Mahalia's software was updated, and then Rosie's was up and Ruby's was updated. The more we help ourselves, the less our kids and our grandkids have to go through.
Brilliant, just listening to you saying that, because that just makes so much sense to so many blokes. We are continually improving and trying to get better. And what would Jimmy Barnes now say to Jimmy Barnes as that young boy making it through Scotland, getting to South Australia and getting involved in stuff that was obviously unsavoury, what would you say? And so many young blokes watching now who might be in their teens and going, you know what, I'm not quite sure what to do.
You know what, hang in there. It can only get better. But to make it better, you've got to take steps. You know, things don't just fall at your feet all the time. You have to make steps, you know. Whether you find a book to read about it, find someone to talk to, speak to a teacher, you know, you find people that you can reach out to, and things will get better. If it seems overwhelming, you know, it's not always so. You know, there's definitely always hope, and there's always light at the tunnel, and it's not a freight train all the time. I used to think every light I seen was a train going to run me down, but it wasn't. There was a lot of light at the tunnel all the time. You just got to be able to recognize it.
Jimmy, Working Class Boy in cinemas right now, and congratulations on the books and also the film, and thanks for sharing and being so vulnerable and honest with our Triple M audience.
My pleasure.
This is Jimmy Barnes like you've never heard him before. Everybody groove. This is 1 hour every Australian man should listen to. On Triple M, we're proud to start the conversation to get Aussie men looking out for each other.